Welcome to John Wayne Lie to You, the storytelling podcast featuring the guitar-throwing, fit-having diva of the day, John Wayne. Yes, myself. More explanation on that later. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm here in the Library of Evil, of course, nestled in the east wing of Wayne Manor. I got my coffee. I got my grandpappy's medicine. Nice Topo Chico as well to top it all off, as usual. Nice early morning on Sunday today. I got up nice and early. You know, I took Saturday. I took yesterday, which was Saturday for me, to just do some decompressing and just kind of trying to have a hard reset baseline type of thing. It's been a pretty good week, I have to say. What we're going to talk about in the story section is actually part of what happened this weekend for me, or on Friday night. So I'm kind of going to jump around that and save that for our story section. But you know, aside from that, it's been a fine week. It was very busy at the day job of making the nut milk. We had a lot of blends, and we had some things that went wrong on Tuesday, and just out of our control, just like things that happen, and you just kind of got to go with it and figure it out. This is that kind of job where, you know, shit happens, and a lot of times it's happened already, so we kind of, you know how to navigate those waters, but then other times things happen, and it's like, oh, now we got to figure this out. But as much as it sucks, it's helpful for next time if something like that or similar happens. It's just how it is. So it's a lot of long days, you know, and longer than I'd like to spend there during the day. But, you know, I guess it's part of it. You know, they let me leave when I want to, and I definitely don't want to take advantage of that at all. So I was putting in the hard work this week. Long hours, that's okay. That paycheck will be a little bit nicer than it was these past couple ones I've had, because I haven't been there. But anyway, that was it. It's a lot of work. I went to of course, to PJ's on Tuesday night to see Connor and Ned's, or Ned's and Connor's, F and Rager with Connor and Ned, or Ned and Connor. F and Rager, E-F-F-I-N Rager, is their monthly show. It's the second Tuesday? It's the second Tuesday? Yeah, second Tuesday of every month at PJ's, which is in the Montrose area of Houston. So if you're here, check them out. But these guys are my good friends. I don't know if you've been listening like from the beginning and you know anything about Micro Satan. That was the sketch group that I was in. Connor was the one who spearheaded that, pretty much was the leader of us. And you know, Ned was also one of the people in the group, and he's immensely talented, does a lot of great video and acting work. And they've banded together to put this show together, F and Rager. It's kind of like a comedy variety show. They have videos, they'll have two guests, they'll have an opening comic. It's really fun. And then every Monday night they go on KPFT, which is our local radio station here, like our local community access, public access radio. And they do a show called FM Rager. And then they just released their brand new zine, which I think is going to be like a monthly occurrence, if I'm not mistaken. If not, it should be, goddammit. It's called FN Pager. Oh, these guys are just, you know, one more pun and I'm probably going to just have to take down the whole organization. But for now, I will support them. So check them out. They've got that. At FN Rager is their Instagram and all that kind of stuff. And you can get the information from there way better than for me. But I do want to, you know, give them shouts out. Those are my very good friends, and I do like the work they do a lot, so check them out. So that was a very fun show. Hung out with the old Coyote Bloodbath for a bit before that. We had a good time. And then otherwise, you know, I met Nick P and I. Yeah, let me ask you. So Nick P and I have been writing all these sketches and stuff and ideas for this web series we're trying to put together. And I know we've been talking about it for a while, but it does take time, and we're only able to meet once a week, and we're really fleshing out a lot of ideas. And it's kind of cool. It's not kind of cool. It's very cool and very fun to write with Nick P in this way. If you know, like I've said in the past, Nick and I have been friends for like 21 years or something like that. So we definitely, you don't stay friends with someone for that long that you don't have a super strong connection with, or you don't relate to in a very strong way. And Nick and I you know, our senses of humor have, you know, been one of the things that that bound us to each other from the start. And so we're having a lot of fun coming up with this. And it's also fun to, like, you know, I throw out ideas, it's nice to have somebody else that, you know, can help shape them a little bit, or let you see what you don't see initially, or maybe, like, you didn't see this, you didn't see that. Nick does that more often for me than I do for him, I would say, and I like that. It's a challenge. It's a new way to think, and it's cool, and it's very good fucking skill to have, to be able to work with others, write with others. You know, that's important, I think. It's a good muscle to be able to flex, because you never know when you may be called upon to do something like that, where you have to work with somebody or come up with something with someone together. And, you know, sometimes it doesn't work so well, or people that are working together butt heads. They won't relent to one side or the other's idea because they think their idea is better, you know. And Nick and I, we've had some, mostly me, just like not yelling, but like getting passionate about what I was trying, you know. Ah, come on, man, you don't think this is funny? This is funny. But fuck, man, you know, sometimes you just got to be like, all right, you know, we'll see. Let's try it your way, you know, or you think about it a little bit and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. But let me ask you this. What would you, and don't steal this fucking idea, I swear to God, this is my idea, I came up with it, I will find you. But what would you guys think about a service that you pay who will cosplay one of your dead relatives at your birthday party? Now hear me out. You're having your birthday party, you know, you're having a good time, right? And what if great Uncle Jack shows up? He's been dead for 15 years, but lo and behold, there's somebody that shows up and they are cosplayed out as Uncle Jack. Now, this is a kind of cosplay where it's like, there's a little bit of a fantastical element to it, I think. And you can there'll probably be, you know, there's a lot of kinks to work out, but there'll probably be a scale you can select on. But, you know, if you see some of these cosplayers are like very detailed, sometimes they've blown out to a cartoonish type of properties of the character. So this is like a mix of both. You know, it's kind of realistic, but it's kind of cartoonish, so it really is more scary than anything else. But this guy, this our promise, our pledge, this is an Uncle Jack that will basically be like your Uncle Jack. Your dead Uncle Jack is there, right? He will have he or she, because we don't discriminate, you know, there's plenty of people that can do, you know, play both roles. Doesn't matter to me. It's just, that's what you're going to perceive them as, Uncle Jack, right? So the person playing them will be completely knowledgeable on everything about your uncle and you and your relationship, and he can get some deep pulls, like, you know, you can ask him questions. It's basically just like your dead relative is there. And then at the end, you know, they leave, and it was a fun time, right? You know, maybe you're like, ah, geez, I really wish Grandma could have been here for one more Christmas. Now she can. She could be here for a lot more Christmases. You know, you can cut in. And I also think, like, you can do different, like, periods in their life. You know, we'll have cosplayers do that. You know, maybe Aunt Mildred was just, like, you know, smoking redhead back in the day, you know, and that's what you want the cosplay to be, to show up at your anniversary party or your wedding, you know. I think it's a great idea. Nick was kind of like, I don't know, man, how do we, you know, how would you do that? Now, it's really just an idea for a sketch, but I just think that there may be some legitimacy to that kind of idea, especially in this day and age of cosplay and characterization, like that kind of thing. I think it could fly. I think it could really fly. That, and I also think that, like, a porno shop that has a donut shop within it that is really good donuts, like the best in town, I think that's a good idea too. But this dead cosplay relative thing, I'm really into this cup and ball thing right now, as far as that goes. I think it's a good idea. You know, aside from that, it was just practicing. I performed Friday night on the Kiki Maroon's Burly Q Lounge burlesque variety show at Warehouse Live here in Houston. That's what we're going to talk about in our story portion. So leading up to that, it was just a lot of, like, practicing of just, like, you know, sitting down for you know, at least two plus hours a night, just going over, like, these songs, just playing, not just the songs I was playing there, just playing a bunch of songs. I, you know, it just helps me get in the groove. You know, it all helps lube up all the things you need to be lubed, and, you know, refresh yourself on everything. And I just feel a lot better going into something well rehearsed. As much as, like, I could be, you know, spontaneously tapped somewhere to be like, hey man, get up here and play a couple songs, like, I could do that, yeah, no problem. But when I'm putting together a performance, you know, it's I definitely want to be practiced and rehearsed and all that. So we'll get into that in a bit. I did finish reading Dead Stripper Storage this week by Brian Smith. That's one of the newest wave of releases on Grindhouse Press. That fucking book was awesome. That is such a great fucking story. I love the way he took the reader on that this journey. I mean, you feel like I teased it last episode, because I had started reading it, where a guy wakes up basically in the morning. They find a dead woman who looks very stripper-esque on his couch. He has no idea how she got there. He didn't go out the night before. He didn't drink. His doors are locked. His windows are locked. His alarm is still set. He doesn't have any idea how this person got in to his apartment or into his house or whatever it is. But it starts like that. And man, like, the anxiety that Brian Smith creates through while you're reading it, that you feel for the main character as he's going through this is amazing. It's really well done. And I liked the book a lot. I liked how it ended. It was great. So I suggest that you guys check that out. Dead Stripper Storage by Brian Smith. And it's on Grindhouse Press, so you can get it from their shop, and you probably get an autographed copy from their shop at grindhousepress.com, or the Kindle version, and, you know, all that stuff. So that's my recommendation for the week, Dead Stripper Storage by Brian Smith. I really did enjoy that book. So now I get to start a new book this week, and I haven't decided yet, so we'll have to see about that. Anyway, so all of that aside, we'll go ahead and get into our tarot reading for today. I, as you know or don't know, I do a 3-card tarot reading every episode before I record. And it's just so, you know, I start thinking about all the stuff that's been on my mind for the week, or that's, you know, continuously on my mind, especially dealing with, you know, my journey through this writing career, you know, trying to have a career in the arts that sustains me in some way. And so there's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of things I think about, you know, all the time that concern this and have to do with this. So I like to do these 3-card readings, and just as a thought exercise, and think about maybe what I'm thinking about a little differently, or what's on my mind. I can look at it with a new perspective. So let's see, where does this start? Right here. Oh wow, I wrote a lot down for this one, so let's hang in there. One of the things I wrote down that I was thinking about during this reading has to do with some other stuff I was thinking about, performance and whatnot, and it'll have to do with our story today. I started thinking about a lot of about people in entertainment or in any degree who can be perceived, you see a snapshot of them a moment in time, and you can maybe perceive them as being a prick, but I think I'm getting a little bit more, and this isn't just from this past weekend, I mean a little bit more perspective on what it means to work super, super hard on something that you're trying to present it in a way that it's supposed to be presented for the overall, I guess, presentation of you, yourself, your brand, your image, your who you're being out in your career field, I guess, in this particular instance being entertainment. You may think they're being a prick about something, or just difficult, or an asshole, but it's like, it's important that when you work that hard for it to be held to a certain standard and be performed at a certain standard. And sometimes when things aren't right and there's miscommunication, or you know, shit just goes south completely out of your control, I can now get a fresh perspective on that. So I was really thinking about that a lot while I was shuffling the cards up today. So first card I drew was a Five of Swords. Now I've gotten this card a few times in the past, and you know, it's a dude's on there. He's got three swords in his hand, two swords at his feet. He's basically, you know, there's some guys walking away. They look kind of butthurt. Like, so he's obviously engaged in this confrontation with these people, and he's successful. But he's like got this smug look. He took all their swords. He's kind of like, fuck you. So the Five of Swords represents engaging in conflict, disregarding others, which can lead to tension and hostility. So, you know, that's something like that kind of goes along with what I was thinking as far as engaging in conflict with people. And I haven't really been engaging in super conflict with people. Maybe here and there it pops up. But I guess let me get a little further. You think you may have won, but you have hurt or annoyed others in the process. The conflict is in the past, but, and you've gotten your point across and gotten what you want, but people lose respect for you and they may not want to be around you. This card's about ambition, right? But ambition in a negative way is what it's showing. And it's, I've talked about it in the past as far as like you being too ambitious when it comes to me. It's basically like, you may be like, how can you be too ambitious? Well, if you're so focused on something and you have this tunnel vision, complete disregard for everything else except that goal, except that thing that you're focused on, that's where the ambition can be bad, because you're putting everything in there, you're sacrificing, you're doing it. But along the wayside, there's things like other responsibilities that are falling away, friendships that are being ignored or just left by the wayside, other relationships. That's the negative part of ambition. And what's weird, the more I think about it, is it's almost inevitable. It's almost a necessary evil, a necessary thing that happens. If you almost have to kind of trade some of that, at least some of it, balance it as best you can. But the way I'm seeing is you kind of have to trade some of that in for your success a little bit, which sucks. Wrote down here, is your point of view important enough to put relationships in jeopardy? And I wrote down to that my response as well. I mean, if you're putting these relationships in general, you also need to consider on your end or my end, what are these the right people that you need to be in, you know, interacting with anyway? Are they helping you, or are they disguised as some like kind of negative resistance that's like combative against you because it's another obstacle that you need to face? I don't know. That's the kind of thing. Like I've said it before, like, and it's just, you want to be around like-minded people. You want to be around people that are in the same field as you, but are better than you, because that helps you to up your game. You just can't help but rise up, especially if you're working at it. You get by these other, you know, for me, it's to be around other authors that I admire, that I respect, that I deem have had success in my eyes in whatever way, and that makes me better. That especially when you form relationships, there's a certain, at least for me in my mind, of like, I don't want to let them down. I can't let them down now. I'm, you know, and I don't want to let myself down. So I don't know, that I thought about that. See, represents conquest. If you have been aggressive in your struggles, obstacles are hard to face, but you must to have what you want and to how you want it. Conflicts and clashes with others are inevitable. Again, ambition in a negative sense, but isn't that what you need to succeed? I don't know. I'm starting to think so. This says, do not boast or be arrogant, as you will attract challenges to you. Yeah, if you're like walking around the chip on your shoulder, and that's something I think about constantly, because I never ever want to come across arrogant or just like I'm like the shit or anything like that, because that just opens you up to people being like, you know, fuck you, man, I bet, you know, and another conflict arises for you. But it does say also, one positive aspect is of this card is if you have taken a loss, if something's not gone your way, don't dwell on it, but learn so it doesn't happen next time. And I'm getting way better at that. I'm definitely learning from my mistakes, for sure. The dwelling on part is what's a little bit more difficult for me to get by. I think I'm reducing that period by a lot, by how much I will dwell on bad things and kind of spiral out in my own head. But I'm getting better, for sure. Then it says, you know, pick your battles. You don't need to prove you're right to everyone who challenges you. That's a little bit of letting go. I think that's where you can get arrogant if you think that. So it's like, and I've always been like a fan of the phrase of picking your battles. You know, that's how I worked when I managed Starbucks forever. You know, I was like, just pick your battles. You know, is this the hill you want to die on? No. And I would give that to people who were like, oh, I can't work with this person. This person annoys me, or da da da. Well, I mean, talk to them, but take a look at it. If it's something that's like, you know, they don't realize they're doing, and you can talk about it or whatever, but pick your battles, man. You don't have to fight about every little thing that people don't agree with you on or see your way. You know, and that's always a work in constant work in progress, I think. Next thing I got, a card, Three of Cups. Quite a little bit of a turnaround from the last card. This represents friendship and harmonious relationships. You are open to helping others, and they will in turn help you. Well, that's what that makes me think of, like, you know, surrounding yourself with the like-minded people who are better than you, so that you can, you know, it challenges you, forces you to be better, forces you to put the work in to be better. You may find turning to your female friends is what you need to receive love, support, and compassion. Yeah, this card is, I forgot to say, it's a high, like, feminine energy card, which is cool. It's three women on the card, and they're dancing and celebrating, and the cups are like, you know, they're raising the cups, one's floating above them. They're in like a joyous time of celebration and fellowship with each other. I think, you know, turn to your female friends. I have a lot of female friends, I think, which is not uncommon. But I don't know. I've told Katie, my fiance, who's at her bachelorette party this weekend, hobo. I've talked to her about this too, you know, and I've said I would rather, like, in all the jobs that I've had more female bosses than I've had male bosses, and I much prefer working for a female boss. You know, I just think I work better. Maybe I have more feminine minded way about me or something, but I just can work better in that environment. And I don't know, it's cool. I don't know, I have a lot of really cool friends, male and female, but maybe this is saying like, hey, you know, get some love and support from those female friends. Represents a very sociable period. You will find harmonious balance between meeting commitments and spending time with friends. So that's again what I was saying in the last card, you know, the tunnel vision, the over ambitiousness, the letting things fall by the wayside, not having harmonious balance. So I look at this and I'm like, all right, well, I need some of that harmonious balance, but where do you draw the line? Where do you start? Like, okay, I'll give 30% of this to my relationships with friends, but I still need that majority at that tunnel vision level. I don't know. That's just a weird breakdown. It's a weird give and take, I think. Maybe it can't be the same all the time. You know, it's going to be more on one side than the other at times, but figuring that out is definitely the hard part, definitely what I am struggling with. But then it does say spending time with friends and loved ones is needed, especially after periods of high stress from keeping you from being burned out. When I read that, it makes me think like, yes, there is a time, maybe I should push away from the table for a weekend and go bananas, which, I mean, I am going out of town next weekend for just partying purposes, but you know, I forget that I'm a very social person, and I like to be out with friends and I get fed from that. But maybe I've forgotten about that a little bit because I just haven't, just through being busy, being burnt out, being tired, trying to, like, you know, working long hours at the day job, then coming home and trying to get my other, my writing done, my revisions, the things that I'm working on. It doesn't leave a lot of time to go out, you know, especially when you got to be at work at 5 the next day or something. But there's a balance that needs to be achieved there, and I need to strike that balance a little bit better than I am doing right now. Last card, Six of Wands. This represents success, victory, public recognition. You are achieving goals and being publicly recognized for it. You have harnessed strengths and talents to bring about a successful outcome in your endeavors. You have overcome obstacles and are focusing on the goal that leads to your success. So, you know, I look at that as like, okay, yes, I have achieved some things. I have definitely worked my way up into certain, you know, from one level to the next. I feel weird about public recognition. I don't know what it is. I guess it's just like a self image issue or self whatever, where I almost don't feel like I'm not worthy of that. Like, I don't feel like I've achieved anything that necessarily garners public attention yet. And I don't know if that's just a thing about myself I need to work on, maybe not have so much doubt in that area. But you know, it happens sometimes, and I'm just kind of like I think I told the story of being at KillerCon, where they had the autograph row Saturday morning, is what it was called. And, you know, it had a place for, you know, writers to sit, and you just sit at these tables while people walk by and they get you signed stuff. And I had said that while they had a place for me, I was very uncomfortable with that. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And I just went to my booth and, you know, hung out there and, you know, sold books and stuff there. Maybe I shouldn't have been, you know, maybe there was some people who wanted to meet me there. I have no idea. I just have to deal with that kind of stuff because I just don't feel super worthy of a lot of accolades, I guess. And I need to get over that. You need positive encouragement to believe in who you are and your accomplishments. That's also just a mind fuck thing with me that I need to get over. Do not let fear or guilt get in your way of your success. Be proud of what you achieved and be not afraid to hold your head up and feel worthy of others' attention. So basically that's what I've been saying, is I need to do this. But what one thing that's like a barrier for me here is the arrogance thing. I don't want to come off arrogant. I don't want hubris to take me down, like, and then realize it before, when it's too late, that I've become this thing that I never wanted, you know, that I lost sight or something, because I'm like, yes, I did do a good, thank you, I did do a good job. I just need to take that and be okay with it. You are focused on success and building your personal brand. You want people to know about it and give you the recognition you deserve. I wrote that part down because, you know, that's something that people have been saying to me out there, like when I'm in other states and other cities. The mention of specifically to me of my brand has come up a lot, and where I kind of first of all was like, I was first like, oh, that's kind of gross. I don't think of me as a brand, but there's nothing you can do. Like, that is what it is, and I have established this brand that people recognize, which I think is good. They know what to expect with me. They know what comes with John Wayne. This is what he is, you know, and this is what he's going to have. And I have worked hard on that. But being in a completely genuine way, I'm trying to bring these aspects of myself into this whole entire world that I've created of the things that I'm making and doing, and in a genuine sense. And it's created this, if you will, brand. So, you know, I should be okay with the recognition that people give me with that. And then again, this is what I've already said, but the downside of this is becoming arrogant, self-important, egotistical. If you adjust this attitude, or if you adapt this attitude, it will be recognized and someone will feel encouraged to take you down. Just like the last time I said in the last card, you know, that opens you up to people just wanting to take your legs out from under you. And I don't want that. I'm deathly afraid of that. I don't know why. Maybe I just have some fucking, like, I need people to like me in some way, or what. So I don't want to, I always want to be like, no, I'm not that, whatever, you know, because that, I feel like that is what gives that to me in some way. I don't know. Definitely a lot for me to think about on this one. That, and I hope that this one was just kind of a little more serious than the other, or a little bit darker, I guess, just probably because of my mood. But I hope that maybe, you know, you could get something out of that too as well, or relate, or be entertained by my sadness. So anyway, thank you for indulging me in that. That was fun. On to our story for this week. As I said, I performed on Kiki Maroon's Burlicue Burlesque variety show, and it's an amazing show, and Kiki is an amazing performer and organizer and leader of this. This has grown to such a big thing. It amazes me and blows me away. And I know I talked about her before. See, even Cerberus is like, yes, Kiki, she's the best. I know she is, boy. You know, she's built these shows up. I spoke about her, the show she had on a large scale a couple months ago that I went to was awesome. Now, this is the second time I played in the Burlicue show. So I kind of want to go over how that show went and my evening dealing with that. In what I will call this one, let's see. I'm not a diva, I swear. Wink. So, like I said, this is the second time I've been asked to perform on the Burlicue Burlesque and Variety show. And as I said, it's a great show. It mixes burlesque performances with, they have a comedic guest. They have, this time they had a Scabs the Clown. Shouts out to Scabs. That was my first time actually meeting him, and we hit it off pretty well. And his act is awesome. So check him out at Scabz the Clown. So that was like kind of like a departure from burlesque as well. And then a comic is also involved, and all I don't know. Not all the burlesque, maybe all the burlesque people do that are involved do two sets. I guess they do. Maybe some of them do one, but I know at least like the comic, Scabs, and myself each had two sets. The comic was also Gabe Bravo. Shouts out to Gabe. Gabe's one of my favorite comics here in Houston, and he's affiliated with the Secret Group heavily, and he's a bad motherfucker. And he also played drums for the house, just like house drums for the show that night as well. So we're all doing that's kind of the setup, and it's at this place called Warehouse Live. If you don't know, if you're not from Houston or don't know much about it, it's one of the mid-size to larger venues in Houston. A lot of national touring acts come through there. It's divided into two sides. So there's like the ballroom, which is the big room for big, like when Deftones or somebody comes. I just say that because that's probably like the last band I saw there. Sound is awful there, by the way. Anyway, the other side is a smaller setup, and it's called the Lounge, I think. But still, I mean, like 200 seats is, you know, it's smaller, but that's a lot of people. And it's cool. It's just a cool ass show. And when I was on it last time, it was amazing. I had a great time. I didn't have a lot of expectations, and I just had this great performance both times on my set, and I felt really good about it, and I felt good that I was a part of such a great show, because it truly is all comes together. It's just this really amazing presentation, and it feels good to be a part of something like that. And it, you know, at least I did, and it was great, and I'm sure everybody does that works on the show. So I couldn't wait to get back. You know, of course I wanted to be on it again, and then now I have my chance, you know, about a year later, to get on it, and I'm jazzed, man. I'm super jazzed. So let me just take you through this. You have to like show up, and call time is like super early for these type of things. But the weather was also really bad, or it's been bad here, like in Houston, just rainy, not super bad, like hurricane style, which, by the way, shouts out to my Carolina homies up there. I hope y'all are okay. I definitely feel for you, and, you know, just it gives me like nightmares of Harvey. So I feel for you, Carolinas and everybody else. But it's because of that and other storms in the Gulf, like Houston's just getting a lot of rain. And also, this place is right by the Astros Stadium, Minute Maid Park, so there was a game going on. So it was like, also, it was kind of going to be like, get there early because it's going to be some, you know, might be fucked up downtown. So I got there a little extra early, and because I was to be teched and sound checked first, and I wanted to have plenty of time. I didn't want to be running late. I didn't want to derail the show at all in any way because of me. Now, a little back up to the story. Last time I played there, I used two of the amps that I use when I play with John Wayne is Dead. My Fender Blues Jr. and my Fender Bass Pro, or whatever it's called. And if you know about my John Wayne is Dead setup, I usually play through three amps that are all open all together. I get my high jangly reverb stuff out of the Fender, the low, you know, boom, boom, boom from the bass amp, and then also gritty low-end punch out of the Engel amp that I use. So it's kind of this sculpted sound, but I really like fucking with tone and my tone and my guitars and amps, so I can scale that back. I can always make adjustments. If I have to pull one amp out, I can adjust for that. Volume things I can adjust for. Chris and I have had come up against so many volume challenges at some of these smaller places that we play that we've got it pretty much figured out pretty well. So the thing is about that is that whether I'm adding or taking away from that sound, that's my sound. Like I know what I'm supposed to sound like. I've worked hard on that for years and years and years. And this John Wayne and John Wayne is Dead and this whole perception of that sounds a certain way. And I know how it sounds. This time around, when I got my emails about my instructions for the show and my contract, it was a lot of the same stuff. Sorry, I got interrupted there for a second. One of the things that was different was they told me not to bring any amps this time. So they said, like, last time you brought amps, the sound guy had some problems with them. So this time, he wants you to not bring any amps, and he wants to run you through the house. Plus, like, it's, you know, less stuff for the cuties to have to take off stage, which that's the burlesque troupe that helps them, the part of the troupe that helps bring stuff on and off stage. It's very, very adorable. So I'll tell you the truth. I balked at this from the start. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that, because plugging into the board, like if I plug into like a channel, basically like the snake on the ground or the DI box that I plug into, and it's that's taking the signal to one of the channels on the board, right? So it's just like a clean channel, you know. It's not an amp. It's not like playing through an amplifier, a guitar amp at all. But there can be things done to that channel to make it sound more like a guitar, more like how a guitar should. There's plugins on the board. These boards have like plugins, which are just a certain thing that I guess a signal that you can route to a channel that affects it in some way. Whether it be reverb or maybe some gain, whatever. There's ways to do it. So before firing back an email that says, like, I'm sorry, I really would feel more comfortable bringing my amps, I don't want to plug in, I thought better about it and was like, you know what? This isn't about you, dude. This isn't your show. You're a part of this show. It's a professional sound engineer runs the sound there. This is a professional venue. If he says, you know, that's... You know, I basically trusted that if he didn't want me to bring my amps, then he would know what to do to make me sound like that. I did ask if it was the same sound guy as last time, which I was told yes, because I was like, okay, well, I felt a little bit better about that because I knew that he knew what I was supposed to sound like. He worked with me before. I also saw him at another show that I did. He knows what's up. So I was like, okay, I trust it. It's all good. So day of the show, Friday, I'm packing up all my things. You know, I have they have a merch table that's going to be just for me there at the show. So I'm packing up merch. I'm getting things together. And I grab my two Gretsch guitars that I play in John Wayne's Dead. Just in case, you know, I needed to have a backup. So I brought it. And as I was loading my car, I almost grabbed my pedal board, which I don't use a lot of pedals anymore, especially not in this band, but it's got, you know, a tuner on there. It's got an overdrive, Tube Screamer, classic. It's got, you know, this Void reverb that I use. It's got minimal stuff, but it's what I use. And I'm like, well, maybe I should bring this and they can run this through, plug this in through the board. And the only thing that kept me from doing that was, you know, the board has to be plugged in somewhere. And if they didn't want to fuck with bringing out my amps and plugging up that, I didn't know if, I figured like that would be like, nah, we don't want to, you know, have someone running out here trying to find a, I don't know. That was just why I didn't bring it, because they had to plug it in and I didn't know if there would be an easy way for them to do a power drop up front for me to have. And I didn't want to complicate things. Again, I'm like, I don't want to complicate things. If this is what I'm told, I'm doing what I'm told. Which is weird for me, right? So I also am about to leave. I'm telling the dogs goodbye, because I do before I leave. Serby and Boner Ghost, Boner Ghost has been an awesome dog. He's so amazing. Just chill, lovable. He's so sweet. I love him. But anyway, and as I'm leaving, I'm thinking like, man, you know what? I should just grab that Blues Junior. It's small. It's not a big amp. You know, who cares if I bring it and then I don't use it? It's not a big deal. It's not taking up a lot of room. It's not a hassle to bring. I did think of that, and then I just thought better, and I was like, no, stop trying to force your shit on this. It's just, they know what they're doing. So I was like, all right, I'm just going, bring my stuff. I get there early. I get introduced to the sound guy, not the same sound guy as last time, and he has another guy working with him also. I guess he was doing lights, but also kind of helping with sound. Not the same guy. I didn't know who these guys were. Met him, very nice. Try to be very helpful to me, and I appreciate that. But they had me plug in to the direct box, and we get up there, and I've got, you know, my electric guitar, my Gretsch, and it just sounds like it sounds really bad. It doesn't sound like how a guitar should sound when it's projected, I guess. It was really weak sounding, hollow. There was no, like, it was flat sounding, like no give at all. There's no breath in the within the chords or the notes. It was just kind of like and they couldn't figure out how to add anything to that channel. For some reason, the plugins, like I was explaining before, they were trying to send to that channel, kept stopping. Like they'd work for like 3 seconds and then revert back. They didn't know how to fix that. So they were like, man, you don't happen to have a distortion pedal with you. And I was like, no, I, and then, you know, here I am kicking myself. I was like, should have grabbed that fucking board. But I'm like, no, I was told specifically to just bring my guitar and that I was going to be plugged in and not bring anything else. Like, so you didn't bring any amps, did you? And I was like, oh, no. It's like, no, I mean, I had a Fender. I should have grabbed it on the way out. It's like, oh, yeah. We could, and they said something like, we could have run like a reroute that to the board, and I guess like it wouldn't even have to be on stage or anything. They'd basically be running the signal from the amp to the board, probably through the DI in some way. I don't know, but he's basically said that they would have hooked it up some certain way. And I was like, well, I don't have it. I don't have anything. And, you know, I just brought what I was told. So they're like, all right, cool. So we did sound check for probably a good 20 minutes. Up there with just me, like strumming and them trying different things. And then they're like, all right, this is, you know, this is probably the best we can get it right now. We'll play with it. You know, we're gonna call somebody and see if we can get a distortion pedal brought up here. And I was like, okay, that's great. I said, that'll be great. So I go back backstage, and it's cool. We got, like, you know, green room. If you watched my Instagram story, at John Wayne is Dead, I posted, like, a lot of little videos from back there. Like, I had a little area with a fucking desk and a mirror and shit, and we had our own, like, bathroom and shower in there. This is cool. But, the, you know, I'm in there with, like, three other girls who are part of the burlesque show, and then Paige, my awesome great friend Paige, who I love very dearly and who's amazing. She was stage managing. This was her first time to solo stage manage the show, and she was doing a bang-up job, keeping everybody in line, keeping me in line, which is hard because I'm just throwing out jokes. I'm going back and forth. I'm out in the alley getting high, coming in, like, you know, yelling at people to get their makeup on and just pretending, you know, just being funny. Just being old, obnoxious John Wayne like usual. And a little while goes by, and the two sound guys come grab me, and they're like, hey, we got a pedal, we're gonna tech you again. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I get up there, and it's this DOD pedal, which is a brand of a pedal, but it's like a metal overdrive pedal. So I told him, I was like, you know, I play punk rock, but I'm gonna play like a lot of country songs in like a punk rock way super fast. I don't need like that much distortion. We just need some life to the sound. We need something to bring it to life, maybe add a little gain to it so it gives a little bit when I'm playing. So they plugged in this pedal, plugged me into it. It sounds like, if you're a guitar player, you know about tone. It was like the brightest, thinnest tone imaginable. Just like, you know, it's just like super just distorted out with so much like staticky gain. It's just, it doesn't sound right. It didn't sound good. We pulled the distortion knob all the way back on it, the tone knob all the way back. You know, all we had was the gain and the volume. And between that, I mean, we're trying, but we just could not get that dialed out of it. So they started messing with that again. This is like probably another 15, 20 minutes of me messing with this on stage now. And they're trying to, you know, add stuff to the channel with the pedal and like trying to make it sound like something. And, you know, they finally come up with like, okay, we're going to go with this and we'll make adjustments on the fly if we need to while you're playing and this and that. But this is, I think we got something for you. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I trust them. And, which I had no reason not to. And that's fine. I went, so I had like all my merch set up, on my little table, and it was right by actually the door, like a back door that you could come around from the stage, through another part and enter. So it was really easy access. I didn't have to go through the crowd to get to my merch table if I needed to be there. Just like basically walk out this secret door and I'm right there. And it's getting showtime, and I'm feeling good. I'm not nervous. I'm just anxious. I'm ready to go. I feel pumped to play. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go on stage, and Kiki gives me this great introduction. You know, really pumps me up. And I come out there, and I plug my guitar into the thing where they have me, you know, the pedal and the DI box. And I go to start playing, and immediately I start the first song, which was Don't Take Your Guns to Town. I played, and then I played Cocaine Blues, and then I played She's Got You, Patsy Cline. But I changed it to He's Got You. So I start playing, and immediately I'm like, this isn't good. It sounds like I'm in a black metal band by myself, trying to sing country over black metal guitar like that. I mean, it was like, you know, don't take your guns to. You can't hear, like, the notes aren't distinct. There's no distinguishing. It's just like, like a very thin, bright, just tones thrown at you. Like there was no differentiating between what I was doing, basically. And so then I start just digging into guitar harder and playing harder and harder, because I'm like, well, this, I can't, this, what the fuck, man? And I just blaze through those songs, you know, each time I'm trying, like, come on, this is, god damn it. And I'm hoping that they're back there doing something, but I don't think they could do anything. And then, you know, when the third song was over, I just reached down, ripped my cord out from the thing, and just went backstage real quick. And so they're like, oh, wow, yeah, give it up, blah, blah, blah. And I just felt like, I was immediately like, that sucked. That was fucking awful. Oh my God. I can't believe that. And I was just like, really displeased. But I was also like, all right, you got another set, dude. Let's calm down. Like, I went, like, I walked around, I went out back, I talked to Gabe for a little bit in the alley, got some air, and I was like, you know, it's just reset. Let's do a reset. That one was one. We're not, I was like, I already was in my mind, I was like, we're definitely not using that pedal again on the next one. Just go out there and fucking bring the house down with your last set, right? So, that's where my mind was. So I was gearing up, I was good, I went into another little side room with my guitar by myself during intermission and all that stuff, and just played and just got myself comfortable again, played and sang and just plugged into nothing, just playing and breathe, get reset, let's fucking go, let's fucking kill it now. Now I'm hyping myself up, I'm ready. I come out of that room, you know, where I was, and the sound guys are gonna be like, hey, we're not using that pedal again, okay? And I was like, no, we're not. And they're like, okay, good, good, just so you know, we were gonna pull it. And I was like, I know, it's all good. So now I'm waiting in the wings right before I go up again, and I'm following Scabs, and Scabs Act is badass, so I'm going to go out there with just all punk rock songs for my next, you know, set. So three songs is what I get, both sets, right? So I go out there, and there's like all this, like, you know, fucking uproar about me taking off my shirt because I did it last time, and so as soon as I go out there, that's what people are yelling, take it off, and people in the front audience are, you better get that shirt off, all this shit. So I just take care of that right away. I just pull my guitar off to the side and do a one-hand shirt takeoff, a la Bert Kreischer, and then I just throw my shirt, right, which goes into the crowd somewhere, like I'm like fucking somebody. And then I'm like, all right, let's do this. And then I open up, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and I open up with Punk Rock Girl, which is, you know, one of John Wayne is Dead song. And the guitar. Well, first of all, the guitar is nothing. I forgot that. After I take my shirt off and I go to start, there's no signal. There's no signal on my guitar. There's nothing. Like, I'm plugged in, I'm turned on, turned up, and the guys are like scrambling back there to figure out what's going on. So I was like, should I tell a story? I start telling a story about Chris and I in Arkansas on tour, and how it's like, you know, Hot Springs is this little carved out fucking place in the mountains where fat white people go to vacation and eat candy, and but it's like just full of meth. And, you know, I fill time, I'm totally comfortable doing, and then they get it going, and I'm like, all right, we go, let's go. Start the song, it's that same flat, no life, barely, like, anything guitar. You know, it has no life, no volume, no sustain, no nothing. And I'm like, fuck. I just, like, and then I dig in harder, and I'm just going at it, because now I'm getting pissed. Because I'm like, I look like a fucking idiot. This fucking sucks. I do that. I immediately, 1, 2, 3, 4 again. And I go and I do a cover of NoFX song called Bob that Chris and I do. And I get to just about the end of it. And I still had another song left. And I'm so fucking pissed. I just throw my guitar. Like, literally, like, I know I've dropped that guitar. If you know me, I've broken my Gretsch, Black Gretsch, a couple of times. But I was so upset, I just like fucking took it down, threw it off onto the ground, and just fucking walked off stage. Paige is in the wing. She's like, what happened? What was that? Where's your guitar? And I just walked, blew past her. And I was like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. Somebody brings my guitar backstage and sets it like in the green room. I walked off just to like fucking just cool off for a second. I feel super, I'm angry, but I'm embarrassed. Because I'm like, man, there's 200 people here now that whenever they see my name or John Wayne is Dead related to music, they're gonna have this impression. This is not the impression that I wanted people to have. I've worked very hard, and we talk about the brand earlier and the sound, like, to make this sound what John Wayne and John Wayne is Dead is supposed to sound like. Sounds like this. And that was not what I got. I didn't get anything close to that, and I was just very upset about it. So I go back, I find my guitar in the green room, I pack it up, and you know when like other people can sense like shit went bad, because other people backstage in the green room are not like, not only like not talking to me, they're not even making eye contact with me. So I just throw my guitars up, pack that up, I go put them in the back hallway by the exit. And then I grab my little hand cart that I got, you know, and I go through that side door right by my merch. And I just pull it all in. I pull it all into that door. you know, I take it all off the table. I pull everything into that door. So I'm backstage again and I start packing it up. And Paige comes around and she's like, "Are you leaving for real?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm leaving." She's like, "You're not staying for curtain call?" I was like, "No." She's like, "I don't," she might have said something else. And I was like, "Do not tell me that you can make me sound to not," oh, I said, "Do not fucking tell me to not bring my shit if you cannot make me sound how I'm supposed to sound." And that wasn't directed at her. It wasn't directed at Kiki. It was just what my frustration was. And it basically goes back to that sound guy who wasn't even there to run that show. That's where they got the instructions from. It wasn't Kiki or anybody in the show that was like, "John Wayne, don't bring your amps." It was the sound guy. That's what that comment was directed to. And Paige was just like, okay, I could tell like she was probably upset that I was, you know, leaving. She probably thought I was being childish and stuff like that, I'm sure. But I couldn't take it. I was like, I didn't need to be there. I know, like, I always talk about, like, I'm a professional. I fuck around. I know I'm, rock and roll and all this crazy party stuff, but I keep it professional because that's the level that I'm at. I'm not at a level of fucking around, you know? And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like, you know what? This is not the level that I'm at. I'm not at the level where you just plug me in and whatever I sound like, I sound like. I have a sound. That's how it needs to sound. Or else, what the fuck? So I knew if I stayed there, I would just, I would be more and more angry. I'd probably, you know, after the show, get into some kind of confrontation with the sound guys. I probably would have got just drunker, and none of those things were good. But I knew leaving was unprofessional as well. But I was like, fuck it, I have to leave. I rolled all my shit out to the car, threw my guitars in, threw all my shit, came home. That was it. So now I'm home by myself, stewing. And I send a message to Kiki that just says, "I'm sorry I left. Please don't pay me for that." And that was it. And then I just kind of like wallowed for a little bit until I fell asleep. So I woke up the next day, which was yesterday, and I have a message from Kiki where, you know, she's basically apologizing to me that I don't, you know, that was completely, you know, miscommunication, breakdown of communication and their equipment. And, you know, she was also saying like, and the guy that said that wasn't even there, and all this stuff, and apologizing to me, and that she was, you know, pissed off about it. And I appreciate that, but I felt like I let her down just by, you know, because here's what I could have done. This is what I thought about afterwards. I should have just stopped and said to I was already talking to the crowd beforehand. I should have just said, "Look, guys, I don't know what's going on with this guitar, but this is, you know, they said not to bring amps this time. So, you know what? Let's just go with it and have fun, and we'll see what happens." I should have done that. I should have done that, and it would have been fine. I'm sure it would have been fine. I know it would have. But I didn't. And then, but the thing in my mind is, at what point do you settle and make that okay? I guess you make it okay if you have to. But again, I was really stuck on that. I'm supposed to sound a certain way. John Wayne and John Wayne is Dead sounds this way. It would be as if I walked out on stage and I had on, you know, a bright yellow shirt with purple polka dots, bright red pants, and a, you know, yellow shoes or something. Like, you know, that would be like, what? That's not what John Wayne looks like. You know, that's how I felt about the sound. And I was just really hung up on that. So I answered her back, and I was like, "Look, you don't have to apologize." And she also was like, "Of course I'm going to pay you. What are you talking about? It wasn't your fault, whatever." And I was like, "I really appreciate it. I was very excited to be on the show. And when things were going bad, I just reacted. And I hope I didn't let you down, and, you know, and all this kind of stuff." And then when she sent back like, "No," and she's like, "I hope you don't hate us or blame us for this." And I'm like, "No, I don't. I love Kiki. I respect her so much. She is an amazing, talented, she's a talented, you know, dancer and comedian and actress and all the things she does, but she's very talented in coordinating. Like, she's a leader of that." And I just felt like, oh man, you know, I wanted to be so good for this kind of a show, you know, because this is a big show. So basically I stayed home all day yesterday, just kind of bumming, really. I didn't go out. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go out last night. Stayed home. I cleaned the house really good and thought about it. And I was like, you know, it happened. It's whatever. You know, now it's time to move on, reset. We'll see. You know, hopefully I didn't leave people with an impression of me being like some kind of asshole or a diva type of thing. I don't think I did, but then again, I'm like, how could I not have, at least to some people? You know, maybe a lot of people in the audience didn't know that I had another song and that I just threw my guitar down and left out of frustration and anger, rather than it just being like a, you know, oh, crazy rock and roll man, part of the show, throwing stuff, you know. Maybe that, maybe not, I don't know. So that was how the show went. And like I said, I just thought about it all day, and I'm over it. I totally am over it. It happened. It is what it is. I wasn't ever angry at Kiki or the show at all. It was the sound guys, and even then, it's like, you know, man, these guys are doing the best they can. I imagine, and they didn't know that I wasn't supposed to bring an amp. They weren't privy. So there was just a lot of weird miscommunications. But you know what? That's what happens. And I think, you know, how we react to these situations is, you know, where we learn, how we learn, I guess. And I reacted a certain way, and I have learned, and there'll, you know, there's considerations I'll take in there, here and there, but, you know, all in all, I should have been the bigger person, more mature, and just stuck it out, or made a joke, or just at least just stayed there, you know, till the end. But I didn't, and that's how it is. But, oh well, you know, I guess, the next big show I'll try to get on is, like, you know, when Beyonce comes back, and we'll see who can throw a bigger fit about getting what they want, I guess. All right, there you go, guys. Fresh off the freshness of life with that one. But that's what I like. I love this. I love to do this podcast. It's like a therapy in a sort of way. Even though, you know, a lot of the stories I tell are from way back in the day, or years ago, or last year, or something, or as fresh as, yes, 2 days ago, it's all still very good, and that helps me to work things out in my head, and I enjoy it. So thank you for indulging me and listening, and I hope that you're enjoying the podcast, especially anybody that's new joining that I've just met at a convention recently or anything like that. Thank you guys for joining me and checking out the story. So please subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe. Speaking of podcasts and Kiki Maroon, I know I've been sucking her dick this whole episode pretty much, but let me continue to do that, because she has a new podcast called Clown Interrupted. The clown, because her main character is Kiki, she's a clown, like her burlesque character. And so she basically, her story is, you know, she, I guess, had some issues with alcohol and stuff, and how she got sober. She talks about getting sober and how her life changed from there. And the podcast is having people in the arts on who have gotten sober and sharing their experiences with that. So it's great. Check it out. I guess I'll never be on it because I'm just not a sober person, but that's them's the breaks. So check out that, and don't forget to subscribe again to John Wayne Lied to You here for old Uncle Johnny's sake. Help him out. You can check out all my books over on Amazon.com and all that place. But if you go to JohnWayneIsDead.com to the shop page, you can buy any of my books as well. Also, the John Wayne is Dead new 12-inch record. This is a record, and all of our 7-inches are available there. Our new T-shirts, my author shirt. If you buy from the shop, you will get it personalized, and you'll get some extra goodies, and we appreciate that. But if you're an Amazon guy or girl or person, use Amazon. All my stuff is on there. Porn Star Retirement Plan, Ant Poster, Charge Land, John Wayne Lied to You, Death Packs and Left Hand Paths, and Scummer. Check out that's my newest book. It's getting a little, you know, I think people like it, and I like that. You know, I'm proud of all my books, but I think I get a little better each time, and that one's starting to get a little bit of people reading it. So why don't you join those people and read it as well? But check out any of my books; they're all in Kindle as well. Anything helps at all. that you would like to check out. And just listening to the podcast is enough as also. I really, really appreciate it. So thank you guys. Check out johnwayneisdead.com for all my upcoming dates for musical performances and readings and cons. Probably be chilling for maybe a few weeks, but I'll be back out there very soon. I just got signed up. I just got into another convention coming up that I will talk more about. It's in December, at the beginning of December. I'll talk about that more next week. And yeah, so everyone, don't forget to do things that are good, and all will be well. And thank you. Goodbye.